Hello, welcome to Misadventures, a Gloomhaven podcast brought to you by Gamer Public Radio. This episode contains spoilers for scenario number 24, scenario number 30, and scenario number 23. This episode also contains spoilers for class number 17 and class number 7. Please enjoy responsibly. So there we were, trying to figure out how best to cheese this entire scenario. Hey everybody, welcome back to the episode of Misadventures. Good to have everybody back. As always, we'll start things off with a quick round of introductions. One of which is going to change this week because Skip opened a new class last session.
Awesome.
So anyway, I am Casey. I'm playing Etu the Brute.
I'm Garrett. I play Herd Nerfer the Scoundrel.
I am Skip. I am playing the new human Sawbones DJ Bloodright.
And I'm Steve. I'm playing as the Vermling Beast Tyrant Bear combo, Roman Coke.
All right. Now that we've introduced the new party poopers, Skip, are you excited to be playing as the Sawbones? What are your kind of initial impressions of the class going into this thing?
Like, looking at the cards, I was totally expecting a support class. I mean, there's so many heals, so many various ways to help other party members out. I was expecting to sit in the back, and sometimes that didn't work out. But he has some nice some tricks up his sleeve, which helps out when in the pinch of things. But I definitely liked helping out more, and that's what I expected out of him.
As a brute, I am super happy to have him on the team because he gives me health and shield and all sorts of good stuff that lets me get punched in the face more. And yeah, it works out good for everybody. So we welcome our new Sawbones by taking him to scenario number 24, the Echo Chamber. And shenanigans quickly ensue down in the Echo Chambers.
Oh, dear God.
We do a couple of events before we head that way, including letting the captain of the guard know that we kind of buddied up with the Drake he sent us to kill. He wasn't a big fan of that.
But, you know, we always say honesty is the best policy.
Right?
Yeah.
Straight up, like, yeah, no, we're bros. Deal with it.
And you know what? Maybe if he gave the guy a chance and met him, he would have the same opinion.
Right.
But no, he's just like, oh, it's different. Maybe we should kill it.
Hey, that's an interesting thing for you to say.
Well, hey, man, the Drake's just a cool dude. All right. Just get to know them.
I think you can hate
the Drake after you get to know him. But anyway. Then also we ended up. We're like, yeah, sure. We're going to let that Drake live, but don't worry because we're going to bust this bring of thieves in town. And so it all kind of balanced out. Kind of. Okay. But yeah, on to the Echo Chamber, which was kind of the, so we'd been in the Mountain Pass area recently and we went up to hang out with our Drake buddy. But then there was like a voice whispering at us from the depths below. We're like, hey, we should probably go check that out.
It's always a good sign.
Yeah. It's dark, and there's a voice speaking to me in my head telling me to come down.
This is normal. Yep.
Well, sure. I mean, we just made friends with the Drake, so something's good is bound to come from this, right?
Sure, it wasn't just all that racist banter that we were throwing against the Vermlings.
Just echoing back.
So anyway, I was almost instantly concerned with this scenario because it had six rooms to it.
Yeah.
And it had things we all hate, like oozes and rending drakes. So it had an interesting objective, though, that was just open all the doors. Unfortunately, there was, what?
Eight, it looks like.
Eight of them. Yep.
And this area is just massive.
It really
nine
was.
Doors. Yeah, massive area, opening nine doors. So that's a thing. And so we're looking at the scenario, right? And there's some drakes in the front room with us, and there's a bunch of oozes. And we're like, ha, we're on to these guys. They're just using those oozes to slow us down. So maybe we can kill the drakes and then just leave the oozes back here and then they'll just be splitting and killing themselves off, and we don't have to worry about them.
Because we're super smart.
Yeah. So we begin to execute on that plan, and it starts to go kind of okay at first. I mean, we kill the drakes, but they're also kind of hitting us back. And then the oozes did their ranged attack against Rum and the Brute. So we're a little bit low on health, but we've taken out the drakes. And then Garrett's like, you know what? I think we're good enough. I can just go ahead and open door number two.
Now, I did check with everyone. I was like, so you're good? Yeah. We're good? You're okay for the door? And I looked you in the eyes, Casey, and I was like, we're good for the door, right? We're good for the door.
It wasn't also, the door opening so much as you running back to hide behind the doctor.
Well, you know what? Yeah. Okay, have you ever seen Scooby-Doo? Like, when they open the door and there's a ghost, they run. That's what you do.
Well, don't forget, yes. The plan up front was to leave all the oozes behind. That was like a general talk, because we thought they were going to be in every room so we could cheat the game a little by like, oh, they can't spawn over here because they're still trying to follow us. So it was a solid plan, and yeah, we definitely... We all voted upon that, so I don't think you did bad at that part.
We didn't vote on him.
Yeah, we didn't vote on him retreating immediately. Yeah, no. So he kicks through the door, and there's a hallway, and it's like, okay, we need to push out into this hallway. He comes back, which lets all the living spirits in the hallway come into the room, block the door, then all four of them do an attack that targets everyone.
Yeah. Although I think I ran back in and popped my invisibility cloak, right?
Because you're that much of a team player.
Yep. You were invisible too.
I wasn't.
No, you weren't.
And your bear wasn't.
Bear was not.
And Skip wasn't. And, I mean, I don't think any of us had more than 5 hit points by the time that turn was done. And we're on, like, turn 3.
Yeah.
We threw in the towel at this point. This
was also around the time you and like Etu and Rum sustained a massive attack from the ranged oozes.
Yes.
And Rum just straight up died. Like I tossed a card to soak in one more piece of damage, but he was gone.
Well, then you know we kind of think about it. And everyone's kind of we're already kind of planning for the next run, right? This will be the scenario we have to repeat. Finally,
yeah, so we've come to terms with failing this. Yeah.
And so I'm like, well, I'm going to go ahead and I have a ton of movement. So I'm just going to run through here and let's just see what else we're going to be up against. Let's get a little like recon for the next mission. Yeah,
exactly. Which I really didn't want you to do because I was going to have to like bust out all the new monsters and put them on stands and spawn them in the roof.
Also, don't forget, I had the one movement with and I have no jump at all. I jumped on the other side of them with my one decent attack that could it would basically disarm everybody. And that opened the round for you to run across everybody and then just blitz through everything. And that was very scary at 2 hit points.
Yeah, that was the beginning of the reversal, which was insane.
And so the next, like the first room you opened, Garrett, I believe, just had more rending drakes in it.
Yes.
Which the one is really to the right, what we're looking forward to. However, we started doing math and realized you're really fast and I'm really fast. And holy crap, can we actually open all these doors in 2 turns? We kind of can.
We just had to get you up front.
Yeah, which took a little work because I was surrounded by like literally surrounded by oozes in the first room still. But our Vermling party member had a plan.
That's right. So Tots can move crazy fast. And Skip was almost up with him already anyway. So if they could get that door open to that last room, maybe we could find an enemy to swap you in with. And I think we did. I believe it was a living spirit.
I think you're right.
And basically you swapped out with him while you're slashing at oozes, trying to keep alive. I think you had 2 hit points when you got out of there, something ridiculous.
I think so. It was real low.
But this was the better part of it, though, when we realized how accidentally we had cheesed this scenario.
You know, the more I think about it, like the thing told us coming in, you get the doors open, I'll handle the rest. I don't think it ever meant for us to stop and fight like we did, you know.
I mean, we had to fight the first rending drakes to get through to begin with. Like, there was no way around that.
And then the living spirits just pinned us in. Yeah. But so anyway, Garrett's character runs off in one direction to open doors. Skip opens a couple. And then I make this weird little loop that hits three doors in one turn. And the thing is, we're opening all these doors and getting a bunch of renting drakes and oozes. But there's already so much crap spawned on the board. There's no more figures to spawn more oozes.
And you managed to stun just about everything you ran across, too. That was the very impressive part.
Yeah, I just started throwing stuns everywhere.
That was
everywhere.
My favorite part of your loop, is that you ran into that one room where I think we only spawned a single rending drake, and you just punched him and left. You're like, eh.
Yeah, I had a move to attack, too, and that was enough to get me right next to him. I punched him, I stunned him, and then like I did a much bigger move, and then that ended with a stunning everything adjacent to me.
In the next
me,
room,
so.
Like it was all oozes, and we were completely out, so that room was totally empty. You just walked right up to the next door.
Yeah, it was around great. This time that I think Tots was like, okay, I think we got this. I want to get the treasure.
Yeah.
And we ended up like
that's
stalling.
That's when the greed
off.
Started.
Yeah. We ended up stalling off by like one more turn.
And it's great, you know? So we went from, you know, we're never going to beat this. Let's go ahead and reset to like, can we just wait a few more minutes, guys? I wanted to get some more loot.
You're doing the count. You're like, I'm not quite going to get on the treasure chest. You mind holding off?
Well, there's also the last two doors that we're going to open. Basically the drakes that were on the other side, thankfully the monsters themselves can't open doors because they had to path around because they were really close to me to come at me if they could go through a door. It was only like maybe four spaces, but because the only doors that were open, they pathed all the way around and put them in a bad position of which the game was over at that point.
Mind you, while you guys were all up front by all these monsters that were stunned or unable to get to you, I was still in the first room, surrounded by pissed off oozes, just doing what I could
and crying a lot because you're very.
I didn't cry.
But you
at
never
all.
Died, did you?
No, I did not did die. Not. I fought some of them off, and then one of them.
You ran into the corner.
Well, one of them pushed me. Like it was a little attack that pushed me out, that pushed me outside of range of everything. And then the next turn, I was like, I'll back into the corner because we got it on this one.
So basically, we just nailed this whole scenario. It was great.
Yeah. Perfect. I mean, perfect's a word. Oh my God. How did we do that? It's a series of words.
Yep.
But we went. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's a sharp contrast to our next scenario, though, right?
Yeah.
Kind of. I mean, there's still the same. Maybe it's a different flavor of cheese for the next scenario.
I think what we've learned is that we are too shitty to have the Beastmaster. We use him too good. Like,
maybe
speaking of cheese, what's cooking this week,
well,
Steve?
I believe this week it was not actually cheese, but we were doing pork katsudon, which was just breaded fried pork over rice with like an egg and onion soy sauce mixture as sauce. And Skip, you had, what did you bring?
I made the caramel bacon and maple syrup milkshakes.
Yeah, you
and
did.
Also had a side of wasabi ice cream, but I don't know if anybody tried it.
Yeah, I don't think I got a chance to try the wasabi ice cream.
Casey did the wasabi ice cream.
I did. Yeah, it was because you cut it back like to a tenth of its potency, it worked out pretty well. Yeah. It was just a subtle hint of. I wouldn't even say it had like a wasabi flavor to it. It just had a little bit, like it was ice cream with a little bit
like
of warmth.
Spiced ice cream.
A little bit.
Yeah. I'll perfect it before I open my my dessert bar. So it'll be
the milkshakes were pretty good, though. Like I said, it had a nice subtlety to it.
Yeah, I brought them into to work, and everybody seemed to like them there too. So it was pretty good for me.
Yeah.
But the food was fantastic. I don't know if I told you that.
Yeah. Well, thank you.
I went back for seconds easily.
Great as always. Now that we've had a little dinner, had a little dessert, we can move on to. We can take a small rest stop at scenario number 30, Shrine of the Depths. So. Shrine of the Depths, we're going there to help our new voice friend out. He's like, we're not actually. We're going to get more information about him before we help him out, because that seems like a thing to do with a disembodied voice that has powers to disintegrate things. So yeah, we go and do
So I, while we're switching sessions here, I'm on the porch getting a little nicotine, and Steve comes to the door and he's like, hey, so we're not going to really set this one up. We got a plan, you know, and he kind of just leaves again. So I'm just left wondering, and I come in and was it a plan.
So we setting up, it's a small room and then a really big room, right? And we knew the objective was simply retrieve an item. You retrieve an item, you win the scenario.
You guys know where we're going with this.
Yeah, they should. Everybody should know where they're. So
I'm pretty sure we've used this mechanic in every single map now. So
yep.
So it's not a big stretch now.
So we basically fight for a round in the first room, open the door in the second room, and then the second room's got like 24 water tiles, a bunch of walls, staircases, boulders, traps, money, treasure chest, and like 10 lurkers and deep terrors and all this stuff in there. Like it's probably got 50. It feels like it's probably got about 30, I guess, looking. It's probably got about 30 hexes that have things on them.
It was hell.
And we look at the setup and there's like, hey, there's a bad guy right next to the treasure chest. Well, we're just not going to set any of this up.
You know how this is going to go.
We
yeah.
know what happened. So, yep. Steve does his swap. Garrett grabs the treasure. We defeat the entire scenario on
which,
turn
to
two.
Be fair, if we were enterprising, we could have done it on turn one.
Yes, we could have.
Yeah.
We at least had to burn cards.
We also
for experience first.
We screwed up though on this scenario because we had this plan, right? We were pretty confident this plan was going to work going in. Like we still had to get to room number two and all that junk, but we were pretty confident it was going to work going in. We should have upped the difficulty.
Oh
yeah.
Way up just to get more XP, but we didn't.
I mean, at some point you have to ask how much cheese is too much cheese.
Right.
I like cheese,
I really
man.
I do too, but at some point you can't poop anymore.
I think the only downside to this is that this was our first time coming across Deep Terrors, and we still have no idea what their ability set is. Yeah. So hopefully we're not boned by that down the road.
When we're also missing things like extra checkmark goals, you know, from the scenario missions, and we're missing money and stuff. So, you know, we're not getting the best of everything.
Yeah.
But we didn't get stabbed by lurkers, and I'm always a fan of not getting stabbed by lurkers. And I at least managed to get 80 XP on my dial in those two turns. So I win. I went for it. Anyway, the good news of that scenario going so fast is we got a third scenario in for the evening. Oh, by the way, so there's going to be some interesting developments moving forward because we got this like scepter thing and the voice. We think he might not be the nicest of guys.
Don't you wee this. I am 100% in with the voice.
Only because we're not.
I mean, I am 100% in as well with the voice, but I still, like, me personally think he's probably not the nicest of guys, but I also still think
he's pretty
cool.
Much as Garrett, so. Like a great old one world destroying demigod, right? Like,
according to the Quattrol in town reading books.
See, here's the thing, right? We're already bros with the Drake. How do we know these guys aren't going to be like opposing factions? And then how do we pick sides then?
Well,
that fight though. That fight.
I did want to say that I did manage to accomplish a scenario for that level third or scenario number 30. I managed to get two check marks out of that. I had the layabout mission, which is like don't get XP, which was super easy since we did it in 2 days.
I got a two check mark as well because like, hey, have an enemy spawned in every room for every
turn.
We also
got party achievements for doing this too, which is nice.
Yep.
Yeah. So that was ridiculous. You know what? We're going to eventually hit a point where we don't have the beast tyrant in the party, and we're not going to know how to play anymore. I mean, we never really did. I feel like that's fair to say, but like we're going to be super, super bad when
it
he's
almost
not around.
Sounds like
a really false sense of strength.
I will miss
that's,
him.
You know what? That's enough. That's enough
but
for
that
me.
Too.
You'll take it.
Okay. I don't want to be selfish.
Okay, we kind of, there's more to do with the voice, right? And I want to we're trying not to jump hastily to conclusions with him. And so we went ahead. We still have things to solve in the sewers. We kind of left that off a couple sessions ago. So we go back there to scenario number 23, the deep ruins.
Because there's still people being poisoned. And we should deal with that.
It's also very important to Steve's character to like clear the name of his rat people or hamsters or whatever.
Which probably won't happen, and he has to come to terms with that. But
right. It's a good story arc.
Also, we need to resolve all of that, regardless of the outcome, before Etu retires. And like, I'm about to hit level 9, guys. It's going to happen eventually, I think. So
I think this scenario was a pretty solid one for us overall, though.
Yeah.
It was, and we got a few, I guess technically golems aren't new, but these weren't jerks, and then the ancient artillery in here was our first encounter with those. And again, it was a little bit unique of a goal for it. So basically the fiction is we go into this place, we're going deep below the sewers, we find some ancient place, and there's traps and defenses, and alarms are going off, and we have to go stand on a bunch of pressure plates at the same time to deactivate the alarms. Let's see, it's 4 rooms. It's pretty clear from the setup that there's going to be like 2 pressure plates in one room and 2 pressure plates in another room. So we're going to have to split the party up at some point. Stone golems, ancient artillery, living bones, living spirit. Good stuff all around. Ancient artillery are cool because they don't move. They just do a lot of range stuff, and they've got some abilities that can knock you away if you're chasing to them. I thought they were pretty
neat.
They
can do some pretty nasty stuff, though. I mean, just kind of...
They have that.
If you're near one, it kind of AoEs like every single turn. Like they have downsides for sure.
So in the first room, let's see, we had 4 artillery and 1 golem, elite golem. And I believe we sent Garrett up to deal with 2 of the artillery pieces, kind of just get adjacent to all of them. And then I got adjacent to both artillery pieces and the golem. And then DJ Bloodright was doling out the shields. Combined with some of the stuff I was doing, like our powers combined, there's a round where I got hit by 2 cannons, a golem, and I don't think I took any damage whatsoever because I had like 4 shields.
Now, something
turn.
We haven't mentioned this whole episode is one of, you know, DJ Bloodright's skills is giving health packs.
Do you want to describe how those work?
Yeah.
Sure. It's just a card. Because I think I started out at level 3, one of my optional cards was actually a second version of this. So I have 2 cards in my deck that when I play it, I simply hand out this additional medical pack to whoever, and it becomes part of their deck. So I get to pass out 2 of these, and I think it's even an experience for it as well. So it's a smaller mid pack because the larger one is actually a loss card, but the smaller one still does 4 health, which is pretty handy in a pinch. So it works out pretty well. And that combined with the shields that I'm throwing for everybody works out really well.
Well, and on top of that,
and we use those med packs as cards. So like it basically increases our hand size by 1. We get to play that without wasting a card. Yep. You get the heal off of it. It's really, really nice. So anyway, let's see how this first room go down. Yep. I mean, I was soaking up some damage.
And there were treasure chests behind the cannons, weren't there?
You couldn't help yourself.
I mean, you got right in on that
version. Well, you know,
what did you?
I ended up on the treasure chest just because I was trying to take care of the cannons for you guys, and it happened.
What did you find in that first one? It was something cool, I think.
You know what? It was a surprise.
Yeah. What was it?
Like 6 damage.
I think I found that surprise earlier on.
And it's funny because of the way that damage is dealt out, you can't shield against that. So,
but that's okay. You know, we still managed to take down the cannons pretty quickly and then move into, I had Rum helping me, and we took out those cannons real fast and moved to the golem.
That golem got wrecked.
Non-elite golems are just fine in my book.
Well, that was an elite. Yeah.
Wasn't it? Okay.
It was an elite, but it wasn't like the boss tier when we had a fight in that one.
This is the first map I got to use one of my cards, which was like a heal 1 or heal 4 at 1 space as well. But I used the second card that said apply it to everybody in range. And so we all kind of clumped up around me right as I threw out the heal. And so everybody healed up. That was a pretty nice card at the right time.
I liked how Herd was a little gun shy about checking out chests, but not too gun shy to actually check out the next one. He's like, "Eh, screw it, let's do this." They can't both be trap chests.
Yeah. One of these scenarios is going to have double trap chests. It's going to be brilliant.
Yeah,
oh, I'm going to love it.
So yeah, so the second room was one of those V-shaped rooms, right? And so we knew we were going to need to send two people to each one, each way. And like each hallway had a cannon at the end, and then one side had two living bones, the other one had a golem. And so the plan was for...
And there were traps down one side with the cannon as well.
So
the golem side,
The plan was for Herd and DJ Bloodright to go on the right path because... And then like, so... Herd's got good melee damage. Etu's got good melee damage. So it made sense to split us up a bit. And then because I can tank, I had a lot more hit points. Like I'm still at full hit points, right? So like DJ Bloodright, it made sense for him to go with Herd. So so we started splitting that up. But it was kind of interesting because the ancient artillery has so much range that we were trying to having a deal work around those without, you know, getting taking too much damage. We had to get through the melee guys first. My jump helped me get close to the one on our side. I also got to use, this is just hilarious to me because cannons don't move. I got to use my doomed compass to move the cannon on the other guy's path two hexes through traps, which was great.
And it seems like the trick with these cannons is just try to get in their face as quickly as you can, right?
Which they have some defenses against that, but that's definitely the
right way to do.
But yet again, Garrett gets a little, he gets a little gung-ho sometimes, and his speed and his damage allow him to do that. Cause like you're ready to hit these pressure plates well before anybody else is even close.
Well, you know, I'm here to work.
Also, and work you did.
You know, our path was the path of traps, like you said.
Yeah.
And my objective was to get a trap disarmed. So I was able to nail three check marks in this session.
Very nice. But you got into your room, which had two golems and three cannons, and get on the trap, and we're like, dude.
You just ran to the pressure plate and declared victory. It was
ridiculous.
I barely
got past the room in the second door, or the door in the second room, sorry.
Yeah, we're like, dude.
Everyone else is really far away.
At least two, maybe three turns before we're all on these pressure plates.
And you're surrounded by cannons and golems.
But you're like, no.
But I just throw on my invisibility cloak, and hey.
Yep.
Yeah.
Start walking toward us.
Yeah.
It somehow worked out. In our room on Rum side with me, we had a couple of living bones and a few living corpses or living spirits, sorry. But with my jump, I was able to get to a pressure plate and at least tie up the guys in that room long enough for Rum to make it to a pressure plate pretty quickly.
It was a beautiful move, by the way, because there were like the two guys between you and the plate.
Yeah.
And I just visualized like your brute just doing this like elegant backflip over them.
Yeah, I did a backflip
over them on the plate.
I did an attack that did a straight line through the two. I just jumped through. It was pretty fun.
It was gorgeous. You,
like, seriously worried that Rum would just kind of wander off the plate is the problem.
Well, that's what we were working with the timing for, because we could swap you into the other room. And then if you got on the plate, we'll just get Rum on the plate and that'll be it.
Yeah.
But all this time, by the way, like Coke is just grabbing coins because he's got nothing to do. And he makes it to the second room. And this is where we're like, all right, we're going to swap in DJ Bloodright with one of the golems in Herd's room.
That's right, because he was still far, he was still lagging behind.
Yeah. I've been melee fighting these guys, and they had my health down a good ways. But I had a health pack. I had a health potion. So I was able to instantly get like 10 HP the next turn.
Oh, it's gorgeous.
And we got cards.
It was great.
To ditch. We had cards that we were expecting. Yeah, like, okay, just ditch them.
Oh, Buku cards.
Yeah.
I love the way it closed, though, because we had that one golem come out in the hallway, and I'm like, he's six spaces away. They're slow, whatever. And then he got, like, a move boost with a range that had pull. And so I ended, like, the second to last turn with Coke immobilized, standing right in front of him. And I'm like, ah, shit. But no, he stepped up to the plate, stabbed him in the liver, killed him right before the turn ended.
And then victory.
Yeah.
Other than that last turn, this whole thing went pretty smoothly, I would say.
Yeah.
So
I could have stuck around and killed some of that stuff in the middle room, you know.
Yeah.
Would have made it go a little more smoothly, but
I think,
but that's okay. We still had the swap card, so we can make up for you sometimes.
So I think next session we're finally going to get to the bottom of this whole mystery. Should be fun.
Yeah, we didn't mention, and I don't want to go too far into spoilers, but with Scenario 23, we were presented with two options on how to further progress this storyline.
Yeah.
And we chose this option. So I think we're through the fork now, and it'll probably start coming back into a conclusion.
Yeah, I think so as well.
$10, it was Jackson
Rowe. But,
it was the Drake all along.
No. Don't you say that.
Yeah, even I'm in with the Drake. Like, you shut your mouth.
Okay, so level ups. Etu leveled up this scenario because, of course, he did. This is session 9, and I've leveled up 7 times. So, like, it's just how it goes. And then Rum and Coke leveled up. Steve, do you know what your card options were and what you ended up taking?
Oh, I forget. I think I actually took my other level 4 card. Oh, I didn't like my level 5s too much. Yeah.
Right, you ended up going with the second level 4 card, which is not a bad thing to do. I did that with my Brute. I took my 2 level 5s instead of level 6, but I am on to level 8 now. My options were Frenzied Onslaught, which the top is a move 2, attack 2, move 2, attack 2. And the bottom is add +3 attack to all your attacks targeting enemies with disarm, immobilize, or stun this round. So basically, if they're disabled in some way, I can get extra damage against them, which... A number of people in the party have ways to disarm and immobilize. I've got some ways to stun. In theory, that could work out good, but it's still pretty situational. And the top sounds good, but it's like two attack twos for a level 8 card seems a little bit underwhelming, but it is flexible, right? Like, it gets me 4 extra move. I've got 4 movement and 4 damage worth of attack on the top. It's not bad and it's not terrible, but it seems a super situational card. The other option was Selfish Retribution, which it's a move 1, loot 2 for a loss up top, which I don't see myself using hardly ever. But the bottom is move 3, retaliate 2 self with an experience point. So like a move 3 is great. Retaliate 2 is a nice little bonus. I get XP for moving, which at level 8 is not a huge deal for the XP anymore. But the big beautiful thing about this card, it is initiative 12, which is
that's a big deal for you. I mean, that's like 3 times slower than me, but no, that's good.
You know, it's like, especially when Skip was still the mind thief, I would drop down like I'm going on a 26 and I'm still going last in the party. But like, so I ended up taking Selfless Retribution here because for one simple fact, going on initiative 12, move 3, retaliate 2 with an attack 5 on the top and getting 2 XP is how I can open every single scenario. Like,
yep.
Go super fast, get up in there, use whatever attack does the most damage, get some XP for it, and then have retaliates for anything that's still standing to hit me back. Like, that's such a strong opener and such a strong opener to every long rest. Like,
That's always, probably your purest tank card in your set, I think.
Yeah, and it's going to always feel great to use. Like, Retaliate has problems just by itself, right? Because you have to, like, there are times where the monsters don't attack, and so you need them to attack for it to work, which means you also need to take damage for it to work. And usually it's only, like, a Retaliate 1, but because this is paired with a good move with a great initiative, like, that's just a bonus. The retaliate, but it's gonna go a long way to helping me get extra damage on the board. And it's just every time I use this card, I'm gonna be happy with it because I'm moving good, I'm getting experience, I'm getting a big attack in.
Well, that mixed in with some of the shields that I can throw on. Like I can throw one on everybody, or I can throw one, and then I think even like I can throw an extra one or two even on an adjacent person. If we start doing that, yeah, you can charge in the middle of everything and really just start wailing without too much issue.
Yeah, and in fact, like, because how we've been working together, like, after this one session, the card I actually swapped out was Juggernaut, which is the one that lets me negate 3 sources of damage, because it has no move on the bottom. Like, I just got rid of that now because I've I'm generating more shield myself. You're giving me shield. You're giving me cards to heal me. I don't feel like I need it anymore. And that's going to make me a lot more mobile, just a lot more kind of flexible overall. So, I'm looking forward to seeing. Hopefully that doesn't come back to bite me, but I'm looking forward to seeing how that plays out.
I was able to, you know, get my three checks. And with that, I threw in two muddle cards into my rotation.
Nice. So, like, I've got some stuns into mine. You've got some muddles into yours. That's going to be
I've got muddles and poisons.
Yeah, and I added wounds on my end.
Before we wrap up, I should also note, as an aside, I don't want to go into it really much at all, just because it'll probably come up eventually down the road. But we hit reputation 10, which meant we got to unlock the sun box and look at that character, which nobody's looking to play a character right now. But it's good to have more options for the next time you retire, you know?
Yeah. And it was a little frustrating because my life goal is also the sun thing, which, I mean, it's fine, whatever.
I know you really want to unlock a character. You'll get there. You just keep at it, buddy.
I just wanna.
I believe in you.
But look, the cool thing about that class is it kind of had some mixed reactions. I know a couple of people in the party weren't too excited to see it. I looked at it more closely after the game, and it's going to be a strong contender for whatever I play next. So once I retire, my options will probably be Spellweaver, which I still think it would be really fun to play. Cragheart, which could be interesting. The Sun or mine. I'm going to end up opening the Triforce one. So, like, I've got a lot of interesting options. I don't know how I'm going to choose. So
I'd be really happy if you didn't play Spellweaver, because I don't need to see it played well. I don't need that in my life.
It's like watching a former lover with somebody who deserves her.
Yeah, exactly. Oh.
That's also assuming I ever retire, but
right?
I have to find a sun demon for that to happen, and I don't see us going to the sun anytime soon. So,
not to mention, Coke and Herd have a little unspoken agreement to just off sun demons before Etoucan.
We'll never let you go.
So that'll be, yeah. So anyway, well, it's good to have options though moving forward. So I think that's about wraps it up for this session. Garrett, you want to go ahead and wrap us up as you do?
For sure. You can get us on Twitter at GPub Radio. We are on Facebook, Gamer Public Radio. The podcast homepage is misadventurespodcast.com. There you can find links to all of our different socials, YouTubes, all those good things. They're all connected there. We would love to get feedback from you. We are trying to, you know, change the show and improve it based on what we're hearing, but we can't do better if you're not telling us what you want to see. So make sure you send us those tweets at GPub Radio. Email us. You can email shows@gamerpublicradio.com, and we will see you guys next Friday.
You've been listening to Misadventures, a Gloomhaven podcast brought to you by Gamer Public Radio. Please join us every Friday for new episodes at misadventurespodcast.com. Or find us on your podcast application of choice. Music for this podcast is provided by Kevin McLeod. For more of Kevin's work, please check out incompetech.com. See you next time.